You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Research fellow at Otago University, Marnie Pickett, recently co-wrote a report for the Public Health Communication Centre titled When the First Barrier Falls, Strengthening Protection for Drinking Water Sources. I spoke with Marnie about protecting drinking water sources in Aotearoa, as well as issues with the water supply. She began by discussing the 2016 Havelock North contamination.
Yeah, so I think a good place for us to start is thinking about the Havelock North outbreak, which happened in 2016, that people will remember. And that was a bit of a wake-up call, I think, for Aotearoa in terms of how safe our drinking water supplies were and how rigorous our the system that supplied that water was, so people and organisations that were responsible for that. And that gave us a little bit of a sort of, as I say, a bit of a wake-up and a bit of a prompt to look a bit more deeply into how our drinking water was being looked after. And so, generally speaking, we have reasonably good quality drinking water, but in some communities that's not the case, and in some communities they've got risks from fecal contamination, and the work that I've just recently done is on nitrate contamination of drinking water supplies. And those are two slightly different issues, but communities are having to face those risks.
And yeah, alongside the Havelock North outbreak, there was the issues in Waimate in 2022. What has happened with the nitrate contamination down there since that outbreak?
Yeah, so the Waimate breach is a really important case study, I think, for us to look at. It's another kind of wake-up moment, I'd say. And that is that in Waimate, what happened was, and we have to go a little bit further back, it's worthwhile thinking about how this came about. If we go back to 2015, we had the Environment Canterbury, which is the regional council down there, and it's like the Auckland Council is in Auckland. So Environment Canterbury did a report. They figured out that if they changed some of the land use in that Waimate district from one type of irrigation to a different type of irrigation, they were going to risk people's drinking water, and they were going to risk the source water that people relied on, and they were going to see increased nitrate, basically, and the potential for nitrate to breach the drinking water standards. So they knew this in 2015. They knew this was going to happen, and they decided not to step in, not to take sort of precautionary measures around that, and they let those conversions go ahead. And what's resulted is that put that drinking water supply, that put that community on the path to having contaminated drinking water. And so, lo and behold, 7 years later, what we see is that the Waimate District community that relies on a scheme called the Lower Waihau, they now have experienced a breach in nitrate contamination, and they've got ongoing quite high nitrate in their drinking water, even though it's dropped back from that breach. So this is a longish story, but the risks are sort of coming to pass now.
And what's Environment Canterbury doing about the breach? Are they changing the irrigation systems down there?
Well, we'd argue that they're not acting fast enough and they're not taking it seriously enough. And again, there's a bit of context to this in that for a long time, Environment Canterbury had these opposing priorities. They said that they wanted to double the area in irrigation in the region and at the same time reduce nitrate contamination of groundwater. And those are two goals that are really in conflict. Like, you can't really do both of those things at the same time, because irrigation often drives increased nitrates in groundwater. And so they've really been on this kind of contradictory track, and I don't think that they've prioritised public health. So they're in a bind now where they have allowed people to intensify their land use, and they have to draw it back effectively. They have to claw that back. And what we're arguing is that they need to do that faster than they're proposing to do it now, and they need to do it with more urgency, and they need to take those risks to public health more seriously. And I'd say that they have regional plans in place that are supposed to reduce nitrate contamination, but I would argue that they're not nearly strong enough and they're not nearly acting urgently enough.
And are we seeing other councils around the country putting in safeguards to protect drinking water from these sort of issues?
Yeah, so I think that, again, this is probably where we need to think about two different parts of this. So a lot of our supplies have good systems set in place to protect against things like fecal contamination. So a lot of our treatment plants are treating for poo that gets into the water, essentially. So those systems are quite well established, usually, particularly for the big supplies, like the big towns and city supplies. The issue with nitrate is it's really difficult to treat out of the water. So it's not treated by the systems that we already have set up. It requires a new and often very expensive system. And so the issue really is that unless Environment Canterbury, with pressure from our new central government regulator that's called Taumata Arawai, the drinking water regulator, unless there is some urgency to land use change and making sure that the nitrates are not going into the system to start with, what we're seeing is that communities and often really not very well-resourced communities are having to pick up the bill and put in new nitrate treatment plants. And that's exactly what's happening in Waimate, is that the community down there basically is showing that it's not, well, it seems like they're saying that they're not confident that Environment Canterbury or Taumata Arawai is going to step in, so they're looking at putting in a very expensive drinking nitrate treatment facility for their drinking water. And we're seeing that in all different parts of the country as well. And that's why we're saying now, you know, this needs some real attention. It needs some real thinking. It needs some urgent as well as long-term thinking about how we're going to deal with this so that we don't make the, you know, most vulnerable and least resourced people have to pay for this.
And speaking about the waterways around the country more broadly, what is the health like of the rivers and the lakes around Aotearoa?
Well, I think that probably a lot of your listeners are really familiar with particular rivers and lakes and their lives that they go and visit and that they spend time in. And there's been big public conversations about this over the last decade, but probably two decades. And what we've seen in the last couple of decades is the degradation of those places that we spend time in, those places that we love. And the connection between the, you know, I want to stress that the drinking water sources, the places that we get our drinking water from, the groundwater, it can be a river, it can be a lake, you know, our drinking water is part of the environment. It doesn't come from some magical sort of machine that we turn on. Our drinking water comes from our natural environment. So when our natural environment is under pressure and is unhealthy and is contaminated, our drinking water is the same. And I really want us to be thinking ahead and not expecting that we're going to just be able to treat our way out of the system. We won't be able to treat our way out to safety. We need to take a step back and look at the natural environment and protect that first.
That was Research Fellow at Otago University, Marnie Pickett, on drinking water in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.